about being planted in life. And I don't know how where we are at times, but the Holy Spirit is always moving within us to plant us in the presence of God where we bear much fruit. When we talk about being planted in the presence of the Lord, we're talking about a sense of abiding, or we could describe it this way, a shift in our awareness, where we're not controlled by the spirit of the age, our thinking isn't, but our thoughts are renewed by the mind of Christ. So the Spirit is moving us to fruitfulness. And often we don't recognize that movement, and sometimes I think we just resist it because we don't realize what God is doing. Jesus in John 14 described it this way, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you." He wasn't talking about the sweet by and by. As we walk this earthly journey, there's a special dwelling place in the presence of God for each and every one of us. Yes. And the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us into the all truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the one that leads us to our own dwelling place, sense of abiding, being planted in His presence. Let's look at Psalm chapter 1. We'll look at this process of being planted. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to look first, it describes in the first verse, things that war against our being planted in the Lord and our awareness of the Lord. Verse 1, "How blessed is a one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." How blessed is a one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Walking means there's movement. You're moving from one place to another. Either our minds are affected by, when we talk about the counsel of the wicked, it's just talking about the carnal mind. It doesn't have to be just what we think of as evil thoughts. It's thoughts that are not a part of God's mindset. Yes. So either we're being influenced by the age to be led in our life by our own opinions, our own thinking, our carnal mind. And this Romans 8:7 says, "The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It is not able to do so." So our natural carnal mind is always going to pull us away from the presence of God. We can't think our way into God's presence. The mind is not able to do that. Our minds have to be renewed, and there needs to be that submission to His will. And when we recognize that our thoughts, our opinions are always going to lead us to walk away from God's presence, then we begin to cry out saying, "Lord, I need to experience more and more the mind of Christ. I want to be led by your revelation the way you want me to go." We're called to walk in the light. And that means that our own minds, our natural carnal minds, are not controlling the movement in our life. "Nor stand in the path of sinners." Talk about walking, now standing. Standing in the path of sinners, viewing that from the Old Covenant or the New Covenant, it's a different interpretation. The Old Covenant, sin was viewed as behavior, doing the things that God said you shouldn't be doing. We're not to stand in that. Now, in New Covenant life, it means something different. Because Romans 14:22 says, "Whatever is not from faith is sin." Anything outside of the faith is sin. It's not just what you do, it's that sense of separation, of not being connected with God. That's that realm of sin. We're not to stand in that. Where are we to stand? Stand in the faith. So being planted by the Lord means there's a shifting of, in our belief system, in the operation of faith in our lives. We don't stand in that sense of being separated from God, feeling divorced, feeling like orphans. All of that is that realm of sin. Standing in a place of His presence is being planted in Him, where you know He always is with you, and He abides in you. Third thing it says is, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now we're seated. Where are we really seated? In heavenly places. Yet the enemy wants to work on our thinking where we're sitting. When you sit, what are you doing? You're kind of, it's You're relaxing into a place. It's where you're, again, a sense of abiding. You're spending a lot of time there. What do we do with our minds? How much time is spent with scoffing, being judgmental, being critical, being negative?
Yes.
We're not called to sit in that.
Amen.
We're called to sit in heavenly places. Again, our mind being renewed to think the thoughts that God is thinking. Verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now again, the word law meant something different to the psalmist when this was written than the believer after the blood of Christ was shed for us. To the psalmist, meditating on the law of God was, again, the law was God-given through Moses. But they didn't understand that the purpose of the law was to bring about the realization that we all need a Savior. It was to lead us to Christ. So in those days, people would meditate on what God had spoken. That's what God gave this word. Even though they couldn't do it, we could never fulfill the law in our own efforts. The one that meditated on the law was blessed. What's the law in New Covenant life? We're not supposed to sit there. I don't think the Lord wants us to memorize the book of Leviticus and all 600 laws of the Old Covenant. It's not rules and regulations. Romans 13:10. Love is therefore the fulfillment of the law. John 13:34. This new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. The law in New Covenant life is the law of love. And how we respond to the love of God determines where we're planted and our level of fruitfulness. Because following that verse, it says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Wonderful promise, isn't it? Another translation for prosper is matures. Whatever he does, he matures. I don't know if I like that one better. We all want to prosper, but grow up, sometimes we do, and sometimes we resist it. But that's a blessing when we're planted by the streams of water, the life of the Spirit. Again, when our heart is focused where God is focused, God is love. On experiencing and demonstrating his love, we're being planted in life. Our leaf isn't going to wither, and we're going to bear fruit. And we're going to prosper. It means we're going to grow up and mature in him. So that's the Spirit planting us. Now there's also, if we flip the coin over, it's important to understand that how the Word is received in our lives and planted in us also determines our level of fruitfulness. We look at the Word of God and we realize that it's not simply doctrines and teachings. We call it a living Word. It's living because it's spoken from the mouth of God. It's living because it works in our life. It's transformational. It's living because it's that two-edged sword. So it goes beyond the realm of doctrine and teaching and thoughts. When we say we receive the Word of the Lord, we're receiving his voice. We're receiving an anointing that changes us. You see this first appear with Samuel. Back in the Old Testament, he was a prophet of God. And it says this in 1 Samuel 3. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. So the word back then to Samuel wasn't just, you know, you look at the Old Testament, you see a lot of times the word was judgment because of their disobedience or instructions of what to do, what not to do. But it says about Samuel that the word was revealed to him, and in doing that, it revealed the Father, the presence, who the Lord was. So ultimately, how we receive his word, it becomes the means of revelation of knowing who God is. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things came into being by him. In him, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14 of John 1, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is a description of how God views his Word. Something living, powerful, full of grace and truth. It dwells in our flesh. It means that we shouldn't pretend that we don't have flesh or try to hide from our humanity. God's Word dwells in this mess of a life that we have and all our problems. And God does not have a problem with us being human. We have the problem with that. As we yield to him, the Word in our hearts bears fruit. And that's what the kingdom of God is going to be in the earth. We say, what is the kingdom going to look like? I don't know how it's going to change all the, you know, the structures of governments and everything else. I know it's going to be an upheaval and a change. Yes. But the kingdom of God manifesting in the earth means the fruit of the Spirit taking over and dominating and doing away with what we know now as the spirit of this age. So again, when the Word is planted in us and the Word is living, the Word will bear fruit. We find this in Matthew 13, parable of the sower. The Word in the good soil, it says, "And some fell on good soil and yielded a crop of fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. What does it mean for the Word to fall on the good soil? Well, the Lord showed me something about this. And, you know, we talk about the good soil as our heart being open to God, the brokenness. But here's another thought. When we are open to the purpose of God's Word working in us, not trying to use the Word for our own purposes, that's the Word in the good soil. Yes.
Wow. Yes.
When we receive the Word and we say, "Thy will be done,"
Amen.
"Your Word direct me where I'm to go," instead of saying, "I've got your Word, now God, here's what I want you to do." When it's his will over our will, we receive the Word in the good soil, and there's going to be fruit. Mary, spoken of in Luke 1:38, "Be it done unto me according to your word." That was her heart. When she heard the Word of God and it hit the soil of her heart, her response was, "Whatever you want done, let it be done." That's always going to bear fruit. Remember in the parable of the sower, it talks about how the word was, the birds of the air came and snatched it away when it was fell by the wayside. He said that what that meant was those that hear the word and don't understand it. I don't think he just meant those that intellectually can't understand what's being said. I think we can understand the teaching and doctrine. But when we don't understand what the purpose of the word is and we're fighting that purpose. So many people going to church today think that the word of God is there for them to use. They're going to church to get their blessing. They want the Word of God so their lives can be what they want it to be. That's not why God speaks. He speaks so that his purposes
Amen.
Can be established in our life.
Yes. Amen.
Those that hear and understand, the understanding is a revelation of God, "I yield my life to your Word."
Yes.
In your Word is the power for your will to be accomplished. I say yes and amen to that. And when we have that attitude, the word can't be taken from us. That's the word being planted in us. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit is planting us as a tree by the river of life, rivers of life. And more than that, like Jesus said in the book of John, the Feast of Tabernacles, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We're called to be light. And what it means to be light is that we bear the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's the answer for the problems that we see in the world today.
Yes.
That's the demonstration that God's kingdom is coming forth. Amen. Thank you for listening this morning.